This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It was 1985 when three magical voices found each other in Ann Arbor. Those voices became the Chenille sisters.
You seen her running down the street. You seen her trying to catch the bus. Always complaining about her feet. But you know that you never give up those pointy toed, thin soled, high-heeled girl shoes.
This is the 30-year anniversary of the Chenille sisters, and it is truly a pleasure to say welcome to Cheryl Doughty. Good to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Cindy.
It's great to be here. Well, it's great to see you. Grace Moran, welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
And Connie Huber, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks so much.
Three decades of concerts and albums and making fans across the country. I'm wondering, and this is a jump ball question, who and what led to the formation of the Chenille sisters? Who's the initial culprit?
Gosh, Connie and I were in a band together, kind of a cover band, and we played happy hours at Mr. Flood's party. And we would just do whatever we felt like doing, you know. And so at one point we decided to do Respect, and I was going to be Aretha. And Connie said, well, I don't think I can do that little sakatumi, sakatumi, sakatumi by myself. And Cheryl was our friend.
Because I was always in the audience. I was her biggest fan. So there you go.
So we recruited Cheryl, and we worked up Respect. And then we started just hanging out together and singing, and we loved it. And pretty soon Cheryl would come to our gigs, and we would tell the guys in the band to take a break and just do things as a trio. Mm-hmm. And it dawned on us that we didn't really need the band.
We had it. This was us. You know, I remember hearing a really, really interesting interview with Graham Nash where he described what it was like when he sat down with Crosby and Stills. And then and suddenly all of that magic of that harmonizing, they didn't even know what they had until that first moment playing the guitar on somebody's couch. Well, when did you hear that harmony that has become your absolutely gorgeous trademark? I mean, when did that happen, immediately? Or,
well, I think it took a while for us to find our own sound, I think, because when we first started, it was fun because Grace was working at the Old Town. It's a bar and restaurant in Ann Arbor. And she asked the Elmo, who worked there, if we could have a little gig there on the weekend. And so he said, yeah, we can do that. And so we started there with songs that Cheryl brought in, that Grace brought in, that I did. And we just said, okay, oh, hurry up. We need to know a lot.
We have a
of
gig,
songs.
But we don't have any songs.
So, you know, we threw harmonies on. And I think at that point we went, okay, well, now we sound like Emmylou, Dolly, and Linda Ronstadt. Oh, this one we sound like, you know. So I think we always kind of thought, oh, we're sounding like someone else. Or now we sound like the Roaches, who are, you know, fabulous. So I think it took us a while to find us. And I think some of that magic started happening at those Old Town gigs.
I think so, too. And I think the way our voices are makes us sound like sisters. People told us that right from the get-go. The blend is just sort of there. Of course, we've worked on it.
Yes.
But there was a little gift from nature, just the sort of the timbre of our voices worked together really well.
Listening as one does to your style and to your harmonies, first of all comes to mind the Andrews sisters from the 1940s.
Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. No, no, no.
And the 1930s group, the Boswell Sisters.
If you want your soul set free, lift your voice and sing with me. Ba-da-dum-dum-dum, ba-dum-dum-dum. Oh, if the devil grabs your hand, here's one thing that he can't stand. Ba-da-dum-dum-dum, ba-dum-dum-dum.
Was that a conscious decision, do you think, to kind of inject that retro yet timeless feel to your work, Grace?
Absolutely. That was a real natural place to go from putting harmonies on songs that someone else, you know, for two of us to sort of back up. That sister group, that trio sound was just a real natural way to go. And someone gave us a collection of the Boswell sisters.
Yeah,
and
Michael
Smith gave that to us.
And I think early on we decided, you know, we were not real young when we got together. So I think early on we decided we didn't want to have it be a group where here was the star, and then here are the backup singers.
All of the Supremes.
Yeah. And we just thought, you know, we want it to be really a harmony group, and I think that lended to the naturalness of going there. I think when we got that first Boswell tape, I just went bananas because I had never heard that kind of thing. And I remember I played it for Grace and Cheryl, and I said, I think we can do this. And they were like, oh, I don't know if we can do this. Because it's very intricate. It's unusual harmonies. It's not just your, you know, basic 1-3-5 thing going on. You know, there's a lot of...
And true confession,
yeah,
Connie is a real musician. And she studied music, and she plays drums beautifully. And she has a degree in music, and she has an incredible ear. Neither Cheryl nor I read.
That's correct. Yeah.
So we have
had
to pound
out. Paul McCartney.
Yeah,
that's right. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wow.
No, it doesn't. You know, if you're a good musician, that's not about reading.
But Cheryl
music.
And I have to learn everything by heart because writing it down means nothing. And so we were just, thank God for technology. You know, back in the 80s, we had our cassette deck where we would just tape our parts so we would learn them off of that.
Yeah.
You know?
And then sometimes we would just tape like little parts of it. You know, and then have to go over it.
Come along and follow me to the bottom of the sea. We'll join in the jamboree at the codfish ball. Lobsters dancing in a row, shuffle off to Buffalo. Jellyfish wave to and fro at the codfish ball.
We're celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Chenille sisters as we talk today on Stateside with the Chenille sisters, Grace Doughty, Grace Morand, and Connie Huber. And you weren't even at it about a year, and you get the call from a Prairie Home Companion. I want you to tell us, Grace, about that phone call. You were at work at the hair salon?
Yes, I was. I was working in downtown Ann Arbor in a rather large salon that had two floors. And there was an intercom system. So I'm doing some lady's hair, and I hear on the intercom our receptionist,
there's a line two for Grace. There's a Gary Keeler on line two for Grace. Gary Keeler for Grace on line two. And I thought it was a joke. And so I picked up the phone, and I thought it was my father because Dad could do really great imitations, couldn't he?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So he says, Grace, this is Garrison Keeler. And I go, Dad, you know. And it took him a while to convince me that it was really him. And then he said, I really, you know, you sent the tape. I loved it. And we sent a cassette tape with a handwritten note that said, it would be a dream come true if we could be on your show.
Boy.
And then he responded to that. And he said, is this a good time to talk? And I said, no, I have to rinse this lady's perm. You know? So I had to call him back.
And what are your memories, honey? What do you remember about that first time on Prairie Home Companion?
Well, it was so overwhelming. We were just giddy about it. And we were there, and I remember just kind of going out on stage and kind of shaking. And this person, I don't know who this person was, but backstage, right before we went on, he said, now remember, there are 9 million people listening.
I know.
And I went, like, oh, my God, why would you tell us
what?
That?
Comfort us in a way? I don't know.
I know.
Yeah.
And I just remember being out there, my knees were knocking and I was shaking. And then when we heard the repeat of it, I went, thank God you can't tell that I was just about to melt down, you know.
Isn't that great about radio?
I can't see faces and hear. I don't even know how you could have made your fingers
I don't
move.
Know how
I think
it
I was like absolutely terrified.
Yeah. Well, and also it was fun because we wore these these 50s
formal
wear.
No, they were like prom dresses.
Yeah. And so when we walked out, of course, you know, it's radio, but there is a live audience.
Is,
and so we thought, you know, for the people here live, and we walked out and there was just this, whoa, you know, because we had dressed up, you know, for the radio show.
And didn't Garrison Keeler introduce us as saying, like, here are the Chenille sisters in their full prom regalia?
Yes. I love it. Yeah. Smart way of letting everybody know.
Yeah,
and that was the first of what? How many appearances ultimately?
Oh, I think there were eight.
Yeah. He clearly liked you.
He did. Yes.
What do you think it took? I'll ask you, Cheryl, what did it take to hit the 30-year mark?
What did it take? I think a dedication to the three of us being willing to stick through a lot of, you know, difficult times and really work at what we had because we knew that what we had was really special. Don't you think?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's a good description of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we became sisters. In the beginning, we said, oh, we kind of sound like sisters. Let's be the Something Sisters, you know, when we were naming ourselves. But now we annoy each other, but we love each other more, like you do with your sister. You kind of let go of the things that, you know, if there
just,
are little.
It's family.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and we, you know, we borrow each other's clothes still and, you know.
And the name Chenille certainly fits that cozy, comfy feeling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Now, you just played at the ARC for its 50th reunion show, but you've got other things coming up. Hollerfest in the Irish Hills on August 23rd. And then the next night you'll be back at the ARC. August 24th, for a benefit career for Kevin Ransom. What would you like to say about the ARC and its role, not only in your career, but incubating so many artists through the decades?
I personally would not be here right now if it weren't for the ARC. I started singing at the Hoot Nights, and the first night I sang there, of course, they put new people on after midnight. But the minute I stepped off stage, a group of people just surrounded me, and I just felt like I was enveloped into the fold, and it just changed my life. It changed my life in a very good way.
Well, you can get details and tickets on the benefit show by going to thearc.org, and then you can go to hollerfest.com to find out about the show on August 23rd. And I can't let you go without the full disclosure moment and let everybody know that I was lucky enough to not only sing alongside a future Chenille sister, but have her play at our wedding 39 years ago. Grace Moran, you had the voice for our little folk mass group at the University of Detroit Mercy CNF Chapel. So thank you,
that
because
so
we could
fun.
Hide behind her voice, and she made us all sound
that
better.
That's not true. The group was really, really good. That was a very fun, and that was how I got started, was singing there.
Singing those folk masses.
Yes.
And you did a good job at the wedding, because we just had our 39th anniversary.
Oh,
so thanks for the good job.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah. And congratulations, Chenille Sisters, on 30 years of music, and we all look forward to many, many more. Grace Moran, Cheryl Doughty, Connie Huber, the Chenille Sisters. Their website is thechenillesisters.com. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This car, I see the wheat fields flying by, going to my grandpa's.
Support for arts and culture coverage on Stateside comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs and the National Endowment for the Arts.